Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The summary of the law. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our sovereign lady, Queen Elizabeth, and all who are in authority under her, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour and glory of your name and the good of your church and people. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the collect for today. Lord God, your Son left the riches of heaven and became poor for our sake. When we prosper, save us from pride. When we are needy, save us from despair, that we may trust in you alone. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hamish is going to come and read to us from Romans.
Our first reading is from Romans chapter 10, reading from verse 5 to verse 15, and it's on page 1137 of the Church Bibles. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, Do not say in your heart, Who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for our gospel reading, which is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 35. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We remain standing for the creed. We proclaim together, "We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Lord, may my words resonate with your living word. May you speak directly to our hearts. May our hearts and mouths respond, proclaiming Jesus is our Lord. Amen. Wonder if you've ever had the experience of suddenly coming upon somebody speaking in full flow. Happens sometimes when you switch on the radio, doesn't it? Particularly Radio 4, you switch it on and somebody's in full flow talking nine to the dozen about something that they're very passionate about. I'm going to show my age now that I remember when I used to stay with my grandparents, they shared a telephone line, a party line with some neighbours. Seems inconceivable now, doesn't it? When we've each got three or four telephones in our house. Share a party line. Sometimes you pick up the phone to make a call, obviously phoning home to my mum and dad, and somebody else would be talking, nine to the dozen. Seems very strange now. When we come, I think, to this passage in Romans, it can feel a little bit like, to us, like we suddenly come across Paul talking nine to the dozen. This particular passage in Romans 10 has concepts coming thick and fast. Paul is clearly in full flow and is quoting left, right, and center from the Old Testament. I had my commentaries in front of me earlier this week, and I noted allusions there to Joel, to Isaiah, to Deuteronomy, to Leviticus, to Psalm 107. All in this few verses that Hamish read to us. I didn't pick those up first time. I'm not sure perhaps that you did, as Hamish read it to us this morning. That's rather interesting, because Paul is clearly talking to a very Jewish audience in this part of the letter of Romans. In other parts, he's at pains to explain some basic Old Testament concepts, but here he's taking some things for granted and going thick and fast. And what he's building is an argument about salvation. And the headline news is this: salvation was proclaimed by Moses as being through the law. All well and good, but nobody can fully fulfill the needs of the law. The law then becomes a curse. Paul says, through Jesus, through crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, shorthand word for which is the vindication of Jesus by God, salvation is by faith. It's accessible, and it's ready for us to take. And to take it, what's required of us is to respond to the invitation. To respond by saying and believing. Paul uses the metaphors of mouth and heart. That saying, Jesus is Lord. And that's a very early version of the creed that we've just said. It's a bit shorter. Some of you might prefer it. But it's a very early version. And it's a version that seems to have been in use as a baptismal creed within 2 years of the resurrection. This simple statement, Jesus is Lord, was written on the hearts and mouths of the earliest Christians. What I'd like us to do in the next few minutes is just to explore that statement that we find in verse 8. Jesus is Lord, for us to look at the depth of that, at the controversy of that, and at the relevance of that for the here and now. And I want to take each word backwards, to go back from Lord to is to Jesus. Let's stand inside the word Lord for a minute. Saying that Jesus is Lord in the Roman Empire was saying that the emperor was not Lord, that the way of violence and coercion was not the properties of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was inspired by justice, grace, and peace. Justice, generosity, and vulnerability, my notes say, so that must be right. It also says, when we say Jesus is Lord, the lordship means that we are not at the mercy of something called fate. If Jesus is Lord, he has his hand on our lives. And they may be tough. That does not mean that our lives will be plain sailing. Jesus is Lord means that even when our lives are not at all plain sailing, Jesus is still our Lord. He was in the boat with the disciples in the storm. He's in the boat with us when our lives get stormy too. And saying Jesus is Lord also means that I am not Lord of my own life. My desires, my sinfulness, my ambition, my greed are not the Lord of my life. Jesus is the Lord of my life, and that's the compass by which I will set my trajectory. So in saying Jesus is Lord, there's some submission, isn't there? There's some saying, you are the higher power. You are wisdom. You are power. You are Lord. Now, how about the word is? That's interesting, isn't it? There's a fashion, I think, at the moment for discovering unknown novelists who perhaps have died, and we discover undiscovered classics shoot to the top of the bestseller lists, and people go, gosh, that person was really good, and we missed him. And saying Jesus is Lord, there's no sense of people saying, gosh, he was really good, and we missed him. There's a sense of saying, he is good. There's a nowness about it. That was true in the late 50s AD when these words were written. It's true in 2014. Jesus is Lord in this time and in this place. And that's controversial. At the time, it was controversial enough to madden Saul, as he was then, into persecution and murder. It's saying Jesus is Lord is enough now to madden people into persecution and murder in Iraq. Let's be aware of this. This is a controversial thing that we're saying. And our brothers and sisters at this time around the world in Iraq and in Syria are in serious jeopardy because they're holding on to this statement that Jesus is Lord. And how about the name Jesus at the start of this creedal statement? This means that Jesus is Lord is rooted in a person. A person that people who were still alive at the time Paul was writing had known, had walked with, had journeyed with, had ministered with, had eaten with, had prayed with, but was who was still evident in their lives at the time and is evident in our lives at the time. Because if this is rooted in a person, it's a person with whom we can have relationship. And there's an invitation in that, because relationships can grow. The very best friendships are those old friendships that have grown through the different seasons and sometimes joys and sometimes hardships of life. And Jesus invites us to that kind of relationship. Intimate and deep, but person-centered. There's an anticipation in that for what's yet to come for all of us in our discipleship, in our relationship with Jesus. Now, what's the outworking of this? Paul says, quoting from Deuteronomy, on your lips, in your mouth, he says, and in your heart. What does that mean for us? It means, firstly, in the heart, that this relationship will be intimate, deep, and as we've said, personal. In your mouth means don't just store it up in your heart, but talk about it. We're to talk about it to people on trains, on buses, in shops, in our work, as we meet together, to constantly be talking about that relationship with Jesus that we have. So there's an invitation in that, both to deeply rest in it and to talk about it. But as we come around the Lord's table today, and we're coming to prayers in just a minute, there's an invitation also for us to share in the controversy of Jesus is Lord. And to stand with those people in prayer who at the present time are in mortal danger because of them bravely holding on to that creedal statement about loving their Lord. So when we come to pray this morning, we will pray for Iraq, and there will be a period of quiet for us to pray deeply in the Spirit for our brothers and sisters. Amen. We come now to stand for our offertory, and I will prepare the table for our communion. If you're a visitor, please feel free to let the bag pass you by. We're interested in your company rather than your money. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help. Hamish, do we have someone to take the collection, please?